Well, we looked at the passage there in 1 John chapter 3, and it talks about love, and it talks about true and genuine love, and true and genuine love is proven by our actions. Amen? Many of folks have talked about that ooey-gooey-gushy love that's just in word. And I want to tell you something. There comes a point where, listen to me, and I'm glad for physical attraction between me and my spouse. Amen. And it's still there. Praise the Lord. But I want to tell you something. Love is a decision. Amen. We've mentioned it before. Over the years, you start to get wrinkles. And who told me? Mrs. Kidd told me yesterday, she said, Pastor, I'm getting shorter and shorter, amen? And you don't look quite the same as you did on your wedding day. But you know what? True love says, hey, listen, I love you. Amen? I love you. I meant what I said back then. I haven't changed my mind. And so it talks about love, and it talks about our heart not condemning us and our heart condemning us here. And there's a phrase I want to draw out of here. It talks about our prayer time and the fact that we obey God. And when you obey God, God answers your prayers. And we have every right to call on God when we're walking in faith and obedience. It's when we're in disobedience that He says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Amen. But He says there in verse 22, look at it with me. 1 John chapter 3, verse 22. It says, because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. Things that are pleasing in His sight. That's the title of our message tonight. And then we went over to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and it talks there how, and what a great, I read that chapter yesterday in the hospital with Mrs. Kidd and her family, and I said, praise God, there was Brother Vern lying there, his lifeless body was lying there, and I said, you know what? That's just the house. That's all that is. Because the Bible says this, if this earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. There's a perfect body, amen, that those that go to heaven will have. But he goes on to say, and he talks about how we were absent from the body and we're present with the Lord. And he says there in verse 9, we labor that whether present or absent, whether we're here or there, that we may be accepted of Him. And that word means well-pleasing. I want to talk to you tonight about things that are pleasing in His sight. Some things, young people, some things you could put into your life and say, you know what? If I want my prayers answered, I better live a life that's pleasing to God. Amen? I better do right with what I know. 15 things tonight, amen? And you don't realize it normally when I preach 3 points, I actually have 15 points, amen? But 15 quick things, and we'll start towards the back of our Bible. So go to 1 Samuel chapter 15. 1 Samuel 15, and we'll work our way back. Amen. 1 Samuel chapter 15 and verse number 22. Here's the story of Saul, and he didn't quite do what God said. Not quite. Amen. And it's a sermon right there. Not quite. And look at 1 Samuel chapter 15 and verse number 22, please. The first thing that we're going to see tonight, 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 22, it says, and Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. The first thing that pleases God, number one, is obedience to God. Obedience to God. Doing what He says. That pleases God. You remember the story here, and I'll not I'll have to move just because we've got 15 points tonight. But the story of Saul was one of incomplete obedience. And I want to tell you something, that incomplete obedience is the twin brother of complete disobedience. Amen. He said this, God, I know what you said and I know what you meant, but I wanted to do my way. And you know what, folks? That didn't end well. As a matter of fact, you know what that did, Brother Becker, is that ended Saul's reign as king in the mind of God. You say, well, that's not that big a deal. Listen, when God, what God says do, we need to do. We need to stop, listen, amen, we need to stop making excuses for why we can't do it and say, if God said it, I'm going to do it. Amen. Obedience to God, number one tonight. Number two, go over to Psalms chapter number 69. Psalms chapter 69, as you're going there, talking about obedience. I think about Colossians 3:20, where it says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Not only obedience to God, but obedience to parents. And all God's parents said, amen, amen. Psalms chapter 69, please. Look at verses 30 and 31. The first thing that we see that pleases God is obedience to God. Secondly tonight, verses 30 and 31 of Psalm 69, I will praise the name of God with a song and will magnify Him with thanksgiving. This also shall please the Lord better than an ox or a bullock that hath horns and hoofs. The second thing that pleases God, obedience to God, number one. Secondly is praise to God. Praise to God. Our God loves to be praised by His creatures. Somebody said, that's why the bird sings. You know what he's singing? He's just praising the Lord. That's why the cricket, that stupid cricket that's in your cellar that's annoying you to death, amen, pleases God. He's just wiggling his little legs and giving praise to God. Man is the only creature that has to use his will to praise God. Hey, listen, you ought to praise Him. There's so many things to praise Him for. Number one, if you're here tonight and you're a Christian, you will never sniff hell. Praise Him. Praise Him. Amen. Praise Him. If you've had a goodly heritage, God's allowed you to have children and they've been saved. And then perhaps even grandchildren and they've been saved. Praise Him. We live in America. Amen. Boy, how much to praise Him for. When you go home, I don't think very many people will have to go home and look at bare cupboards. Hey, praise Him for His goodness to us. He, listen, it says there, it's well-pleasing to Him. Number three, go to Psalms chapter 115. Psalms 115. And I want to get stuck on some of these points, but I look and there's so many of them. My friend John Hamlin will call this a porcupine sermon. Amen? More points than a porcupine. Psalms 115, verse number 3. Obedience to God, praise to God. Number three, but our God is in the heavens, and He hath done whatsoever He hath pleased. Number three, the third thing that pleases God are the works of God. Do you remember when you read that story of Genesis chapter 1, and many of us read it on New Year's Day, amen, and we go through and God creates all things in 6 days and He rests on the seventh. You know what it says? That He looked out over all that He had created and behold, it was very good. Listen, the works of God please God. God has never made a mistake. Amen. God, to look out, and those of you that work with your hands, you know when you finish a job, there's a feeling of satisfaction there and blessing. And God is no different. His works please Him. Number four, Psalm 147. Psalm 147, verse number 11. Psalm 147, verse 11. Oh, we need this. Psalm 147, verse 11. Obedience to God, pleasing in His sight. Praise to God, the works of God. Psalm 147, we had this text last week in our message, a healing God for hurting people. Verse number 11 says, the Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear Him. Obedience to God, praise to God, the works of God. Listen to me, young people. You know what pleases God? The fear of God. Oh, not that we walk around going, I'm talking about a holy, reverential fear that God wants us to have. You know why? He created everything by speaking. It seems to me, ladies and gentlemen, He has all power. It seems to me He deserves the respect of who He is. He's the God of the universe, amen. And He said the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And if you want to please God with your life, you know what? You ought to give Him the proper reverential fatherly fear. Listen, I want my boys, and people, you say this nowadays and people look at you like you have two heads. I want my boys to fear me. I do. I want them to. Oh, you think, Pastor, they walk up to you like this? They don't. You watch them. They run up to me. Amen. But when Daddy says, "Hey," I want them to stop, think, look. I kid with. Where's Pastor Donald? Where'd he go? Amen. He's around here somewhere. He's counting people. Amen. I do it with his boy. He'll say, little Donald will start whining, and I'll say, "Hey, hey, hey, hey," and he'll go. And he just looks at me, and I said, "Praise God, amen, to have power with God and with babies, amen." And you know what that is? Honestly, it's a good thing. It's a reverential fear. You go to Hebrews chapter 12, you can look at it. It says, "We had fathers in our flesh which corrected us," amen. Boy, if you don't fear God, you're not going to listen to God. You're not going to be corrected by God, and on we could go. Psalm 149, probably not even a page over. The fear of God, the works of God, praise to God, obedience to God. Psalm chapter 149, verse 4. Look what it says there. It says, "For the Lord taketh pleasure in His people. He will beautify the meek with salvation." Number 5 tonight, that things that please God are the children of God. The children of God bring pleasure to God. Luke chapter 12 and verse number 32 says, "Fear not, little flock, for it is of the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." Anybody with children can identify with these verses, that the Lord taketh pleasure in His children. Brother Don, one of the reasons I was watching you, I saw your sweet girls up here singing, and I watched Brother Don back there, and I don't know what you were thinking, Brother Don, maybe you could tell me afterwards, amen, but seeing His children up there serving the Lord, oh, how it must have blessed his heart. I know it blessed my heart, amen. And God is no different. We're His children. And He looks at us and He takes pleasure in us, amen. Just like us human parents, amen. So the children of God, the fear of God, the works of God, praise to God, obedience to God. Go over, if you would, Isaiah chapter 53. What a chapter of the Word of God. Isaiah chapter 53. I read it. Every time we have the Lord's table, I read Isaiah 53. It is the chapter of substitutionary atonement. You read it over and over and over. "He hath borne our griefs, carried our sorrows, wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities." What does that mean? Jesus died for us. Amen. And this chapter, 700 years before Jesus was born, was written. Isaiah chapter 53. Look at verse number 10 and 11. It says there, "Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, it shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many." The next thing that pleases God, and it's hard to imagine this in our minds, the crucifixion of God pleases God. You say, why? Because without the crucifixion, man was hopeless. He had no hope to be saved. And so the Bible says it pleased the Lord to bruise His own Son. Why? That all could be saved. That one could give his life a ransom for many. And I'll tell you what, you get to thinking about that, and you get to thinking about how much God loved you and what He was willing. Read those crucifixion accounts in Matthew chapter 27, Mark chapter 15, Luke chapter 23, and John chapter 19. You read those crucifixion accounts, and you find out how much God loved you, and that it pleased the Lord to crucify His own Son. What a God we have that could come up with such a plan of salvation. The crucifixion of God. Nextly, Isaiah 55, probably just a page over in your Bibles. Look at verses 10 and 11. I love this one. Mentioned this one already tonight. Obedience to God, praise to God, the works of God, the fear of God, the children of God, the crucifixion of God. Verse 10 says, "For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return void, but it shall accomplish that which I please. And it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I send it." The Word of God pleases God. The Word of... That's why, listen, I encourage us around here, and I hope you don't get offended. I encourage you to carry and hand out tracts. Do you know why I do that? It's not so I can just stay on you all the time. It's because this has the Word of God in it. And I am saved today because of one of these. You say, "Oh, you're saved today because of the sovereign grace of God." And yeah, I know all the theologicals, amen. But I'm really saved because a co-worker had the courage to give me the Word of God. Amen. Amen. He did. He gave me the Word of God. And I think, you know what? It pleases God when we sow the seed of the Word of God. It pleases Him. You know why? Because it will accomplish His purposes. That's why. You know what the heathen lands need? They don't need more technology. You'd say, well, they need clean water and food and all that. Yes, yes, yes. But they need the Word of God. The Word of God can change hearts. The Word of God. Go with me to Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3. We're in the New Testament. Hey, we're halfway home. Point number 7. Matthew chapter 3. The Word of God, the crucifixion of God, the children of God, the fear of God, the works of God, praise to God, obedience to God. This is number 8, amen. I got my numbers mixed up. Matthew chapter 3. Oh, look at verse number 16, please. "And Jesus, when He was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto Him, and He saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon Him, and lo, a voice from heaven." Boy, there's the Trinity right there. You've got Jesus, you've got the Spirit of God, and you've got the voice from heaven. And we're going to find out who that voice is in just a moment here. It said, "This is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." You know what pleases God? His Son. The Son of God. Jesus Christ. He said later on in John chapter number 8, in John chapter number 8, Jesus said when they were talking to Him and He was praying, He said, "And He that sent Me is with Me. The Father hath not left Me alone, for I do always those things that please Him." And then you remember when they came to Him when Lazarus was dead and they asked Him what He could do about it. And He said this, He said in verse 41, "Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid, and Jesus lifted up His eyes and said, Father, I thank Thee that Thou hast heard Me, and I know that Thou hearest Me always." Why did God always hear Jesus? Because He pleased Him. It goes back to point number 1, obedience. You see, the Son of God, Jesus Christ, when He was here on earth, was pleasing to God. Amen. Thank God that He did that. And He made it His mission to become subordinate and to please the Father. Colossians chapter 1 and verse number 18 says this, "He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning of the firstborn of the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in Him should all fullness dwell." The Son of God. Listen, you can read and read the pages of the Bible and you'll find Jesus pleased God. He pleased Him. Another one. Go over, if you would, to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. We're moving quick. I'm aware of the time. And that's what happens when you have 15-point sermons. If I had any sense, I'd make it into a three-week series. Amen. But I don't have any sense. And so we're going to go through them tonight. Amen. Amen. Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. Great chapter of the Word of God. And by the way, this is a good way to get familiar with your Bible, young people. Amen. Just go through and find these scriptures and have them, God, illuminate them to you. Romans chapter 12, look at verses 1 and 2, if you would. It says, "And I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable," or pleasing, "to God, which is your reasonable service." The Bible says Romans chapter 12 that to present our bodies is pleasing to God. 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 4 says, "No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." Hebrews 13:16 says, "But to do good and to communicate, forget not which such sacrifices God is well pleased." I'll tell you, the next thing that pleases God is living for God. Living for God. You'll never go wrong, young people. I can remember that time in my life. And I'll tell you, surrender is one of the most wonderful things that you can do. But I want to tell you something else. It's one of the hardest things that you will ever do as a Christian. Because Satan does not want you to surrender yourself to God. He doesn't want you to get on an old-fashioned altar and say, "God, you can have me. You can do whatever you want with me. I'm willing to go anywhere you want." Many people never get to that stage. But when you get to that stage, Satan hates it. I'll tell you who doesn't hate it. God. It pleases God that you live for it. Listen, tomorrow morning, some of you are going to get up, and long before you go to work, you're going to go over to the coffee pot. Amen. And if you have one of those kind that you just have to push, that's the greatest kind. Even the kind that you can set ahead, that's even better. Amen. But you're going to set that coffee and you're going to sit down and you're going to rub the sleep out of your eyes. And you're going to turn on the light. And you're going to get down and you're going to read your Bible. And you say, "Well, you know, before that coffee really kicks in, I don't know how much I get." I'll tell you what, that's pleasing to God. Some of you are going to get down and the first thing that you do before your feet hit the floor is your knees go down next to your bed and you say, "God, please bless this day and help me to live for you and help me to be cognizant of people around me that are not sick." That's living for God is pleasing to God. It pleases God. I don't know if He calls the angels over and says, "Look, they love me. They're living for me." Amen. It pleases God when we live for Him. Next. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. Look at verse 21. I'm glad for this. First Corinthians 1:21 says, "For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe." I'm glad, number 10, that the preaching of God pleases God. The preaching of God. Listen, I mentioned this Monday night at the fellowship meeting. We were privileged to have Midwestern Baptist College with us. I'm a preacher of the Word of God. I'm an independent, fundamental Baptist preacher of the Word of God. If you vote to change that sign, you better vote to accept my resignation. Come on. Because that's what I am. I'm an independent Baptist preacher. I'm not a Southern Baptist preacher. I'm not an American Baptist preacher where they ordain women. I love women. I mean, my wife's a woman, my mother's a woman, amen? So I'm half woman. But listen, we're not ordaining women. We're not ordaining women. I'm Baptist. I believe in the Baptist distinctives that are contained in this Bible. As Dr. Malone used to say, Brother Boston, his name wasn't John the Catholic. His name wasn't John the Methodist. His name wasn't John the Episcopalian. His name was John the Baptist. Amen. And listen, I am a Baptist. Independent. I'm fundamental. I believe in the fundamentals of this book. And I believe that it is still through the preaching of the Word of God that people are saved. Listen, I'm glad we're going to have a little Christmas cantata, and I always love that. I love the gospel sing that we had. I love just different activities that we do, but I promise you, ladies and gentlemen, what will always be prominent with me as your pastor is the preaching of the Word of God. Amen. Preaching. Why? It pleases God. It pleases God. Amen. Something else, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Just a Bible study tonight, amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, things that are pleasing in His sight. 1 Corinthians 12, look at verse 18, please. But now hath God set the members, every one of them in the body, as it hath pleased Him. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5 says, ye are lively stones built up in a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God or pleasing to God by Jesus Christ. I'll tell you, the next thing that pleases God is the church of God. The church of God. Again, I go back to Monday night and I mentioned to the people, I get a little bit annoyed when you call a church and they say, so-and-so ministries. Brother Leonard, amen. I'm telling you. It bothers me. You know why? I read the Bible, and the Bible says that God died for the church. Not the ministries. Amen? Listen, I'm glad for ministries. Praise God. But you listen to me. It is the church that pleases God. That's why I'm not into these little focus groups and these little house studies and all that. Listen, when we come together as a body. We're the church of the living God. Amen? Church. The church of God, please. And that's why you ought to be here when the doors are open. Amen. On Wednesday nights, on Sunday nights, for Sunday school, on Sunday morning. Listen to me. The church of God pleases God. Why? Where else? I'll tell you what. The Word of God is preached. The songs of God are sung. The people of God are encouraged. And God is well pleased with the church. Amen. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. Our young people are doing great tonight, by the way. I look down here and I see them moving through their Bibles and going. Just whoever that is, just tell them I'm busy, okay? Amen. And it's always, you know what? And then the rest of us look at ours and make sure, hey, am I on silent? Amen. Am I on vibrate? Amen. Oh, help us, Lord. Philippians chapter 4, verse 18. Look at it here. But I have all and abound, I am full, having received Epaphroditus, to the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. What's the next thing that God is pleased with here? Number 12, giving to God. This right here, if you know the context of this story, it was a financial gift from the Philippians that went to Paul, and God, he said this, it is well-pleasing to God. It is what, listen, folks, God gave His all for us. You cannot, and some of you know this is true, you've been saved a long time, you've heard this little cliche, and I don't care if it's a cliche or not, it's true. You cannot outgive God. You just can't do it. I'm not talking about being foolish. I'm not talking about letting your house note go or not making your car payment because you want. I'm talking about, listen, just giving to God as we pass the offering plate each week and we give to God. It is well pleasing to Him. It's well pleasing. You support missionaries, it's well pleasing to God. An evangelist comes through with a need, God speaks to your heart and you give, it is well pleasing to God. Giving to God. Colossians chapter 1. obedience to God, praise to God, the works of God, the fear of God, the children of God, the crucifixion of God, the Word of God, the Son of God, living for God, the preaching of God, the church of God, giving to God. Colossians chapter 1, verse 10. Colossians chapter 1, verse 10. That ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 11 puts it this way. It says, wherefore also we pray always for you that our God would count you worthy of this calling to fulfill all the good pleasure of His goodness and the work of faith with power. The 13th thing that pleases God is fruitfulness to God. Fruitfulness. Listen, God, when God went by the fig tree, the Lord Jesus Christ went by the fig tree, why was He upset at the fig tree? Because it bore no figs, no fruits. No fruit, amen? He looked at that and He said, they said, listen, let's dig it and dung it. And we know there's, of course, the parable there talking about the restoration of Israel, all that. But he was upset because it was not fruitful. The story of the three servants that were given five talents and then two talents and one talent, there was only one that the Lord was angry with. And He was angry at the one who had digged it in the earth and did not increase. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, God wants you to increase your faith. God wants you to be more of a Christian now than you were 10 years ago. Amen. God wants you to walk with Him more intimately. He wants you to be fruitful. And it pleases Him when we are. When we get to becoming fruitful in our lives and spend our lives trying to see people saved and see families reach Mr. and Mrs. Boston, amen, on that bus, and you see co-workers reach with the gospel, God is well pleased when we're fruitful. Oh, Hebrews chapter 11, we know this. Hebrews chapter 11. I believe this is 14. I've got 16 points tonight because my numbering was wrong. So you get the last one for free. Amen. The last one's free tonight. Hebrews chapter 11. And of course we did, I don't know how many weeks. I think it was about 14 weeks we did on Hebrews chapter 11. Something that pleases God. And we know verses 5 and 6, please. It says, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death for... and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Number 14 tonight, faith in God pleases God. Faith in God. Trusting God. When all the world around you seems to crumble and you come to God and you say, God, the truth is I don't know what you're doing and I may even be a little upset, but I trust you. Faith. Faith is trusting God when you can't track Him. Amen? Listen, and if you're going to really come to God and ask God for things in prayer, you're going to have to believe that He is. And listen, when you trust God, when you believe in God, it pleases Him. It pleases Him. Oh, here's one we don't like. 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. Shouldn't say we all don't like it. Perhaps there are some that do, but I have to be persuaded. Chapter 2, verses 19 and 20. It says, for this is thankworthy, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 19, this is thankworthy if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. For what glory is it if when ye are buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently? But if when ye do well and suffer for it, you take it patiently, this is acceptable with God, or well-pleasing. Number 15 tonight, suffering for God pleases God. I'm not talking about suffering as an evildoer. not suffering because of sin, but suffering because of the will of God. You know, I think about Paul and Silas in Acts chapter 16. And you know, Brother Downing, what they did was they'd been beaten with many stripes, the Bible says. And I happen to think that that was probably a pretty severe beating they took. And you know what they did? They went back to one of our points and they praised Him. That they sang praises at midnight to the God that would allow them to suffer for Him. You know why? God suffered for us. And when we suffer for Him patiently, and we don't render evil for evil, and we don't render railing for railing, we just kind of take it, so to speak. The Bible says it's well pleasing to God, because you know what? He could have called 10,000 angels, but He suffered for a little while. And was received up into glory. And you know what? Any of our suffering, if it's physical, if it's emotional, it's mental, it's only for a little while. Romans chapter 8, verse 18, you can look it up later. It talks about the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory which shall be revealed. By the way, that doesn't minimize it. It says things that are pleasing to God. God has rewards that He gives out. Amen. Let me give you the last one tonight, number 16. Obedience to God. Praise to God, works of God, the fear of God, the children of God, the crucifixion of God, the Word of God, the Son of God, living for God, the preaching of God, the church of God, giving to God, fruitfulness to God, faith in God, suffering for God. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 4. Let's begin reading in verse 1. It says, "Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands." That's still in the Bible, by the way. Amen. That's still in the Bible. Husbands are the leaders of the homes. Amen. "That if any obey not the word, that they also may be won by the conversation of the wives." So here's a situation where a wife is saved, but a husband is not. Okay? "While they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, whose adorning, let it not be the outward adorning of the plaiting of the hair or the wearing of gold or putting on of apparel." And here, I've heard people take this out of context, as that ladies can't wear jewelry and can't wear any makeup or anything. It's not what that's saying. It's contrasting the outward and the inward. Because in verse 4 it says this, "But let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price." The last thing that pleases God is a quiet, godly woman. A quiet woman of God pleases God. And listen, this doesn't mean, ma'am, that you can't have a personality. I've seen, you know, the classic walking five steps behind her husband. You're not going to see that with me and my wife, I'll tell you that right now, amen. But you will see a quiet, godly woman. I see, we're getting into the political season, and it's amazing the things you see. Please don't misinterpret this, folks. I think you know me. There's nothing more repulsive to me than a loud, obnoxious woman. I'm not talking about somebody that has fun and enjoy. I'm just talking about a loud, it is so against that book. And again, I hope I've made myself clear. I don't mean that you just have to be head bowed, but I'm going to tell you there's something about a quiet woman. I happen to believe that what the Bible says, either here, further down, it talks about the wife being the weaker vessel. I believe that, Brother Boston, that's only physically. I believe that the women in this church are spiritual giants. Quietly, they live their lives by the book. They're in subjection to their own husbands. They enjoy life, but they have that meek and quiet spirit, and it's pleasing to God. It pleases God. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, I want to please God with my life. Now, this last point only applies to half of us. But how about the other ones? Are you being obedient to God? Are you praising God? Are you fearing God? Are you reading the Word of God? Do you rejoice in the crucifixion of God? Are you living for God? Do you take the preaching of God and make corrections in your life? Amen. Are you part of the church of God when you can? I know it's Sunday night, you're here, amen. What about your giving to God, fruitfulness to God? Maybe it's your faith in God. Maybe it's the fact that right now you're suffering a little bit for God and you're maybe rebelling a little bit against that. Listen. God one day, God keeps perfect records. God's gonna open the books, amen, and He is going to richly reward those that please Him. Father, we love You. Thank You for Your goodness to us.